Well, certainly appreciate the truth in that song this morning. I know we all have many things we're thankful for, many blessings God has blessed us with, and we truly appreciate how God is there for each and every one of us. Thank the Lord. So I desire your prayers this morning as I try to share some thoughts the Lord has inspired me with. So I'll start out with just a little statement or a question, rhetorical question here. Something to ponder on. So what if the secret to a strong and peaceful and fruitful life isn't just from trying harder, but actually staying connected, okay? And we'll put it this way, too. If everything can change when you truly understand what it means to stay connected. And ultimately, we're talking about being connected to Jesus. But in a world full of all kinds of distractions and chaos and pressure, y'all ever feel pressure? I think we all do. You know, I remember when, as a teenager, they talked about peer pressure. That was a big thing as a teenager. But you know, even as an adult, we still deal with pressures to conform. It can be innocent, so to speak, just to try to, you know, comparing ourselves to one another, you know, like, oh, I want to be like so-and-so because they can do this or they have that or whatever. You know, the devil can use that to distract us or discourage us. But there's other things. There's also a constant striving sometimes. We can get caught up in just striving to do more of this and more of that. And just like, and ultimately, we can become exhausted and worn out. And I'm not just talking physically. Yes, that is part of it. And honestly, I mean, it's good for us to work until we are tired. But I'm talking a deeper level to where we can be so spiritually and emotionally exhausted and drained to where we can't hardly function because we are forcing and pushing and striving so hard just to be that perfect person, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying? But there comes a point where we realize, you know, it's not so much what I'm forcing and striving for within myself, but it's actually being connected with someone that's stronger than me. Okay? So, we'll think of it this way. When a person is trying their hardest to do better, which, albeit, it is good for us to strive to do better, but when that becomes where we're so narrowly focused on, I just got to do better, and I got to do better, and I got to do better, and that's like what we repeat to ourselves all the time, you know, that can wear you out. To where it's like, I don't have the strength to do any better now. You understand what I'm saying? Where we're just constantly pressing and forcing and striving like that. And trying to fix things on our own, ultimately. The devil would love for us to focus on that. But rather, the approach that the Lord wants us to take is shared here in John, the 15th chapter. And I want to turn and read some of these scriptures here in a moment. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples in St. John 15. But I want to understand something. As we read these scriptures, we're going to read a few of these scriptures that Jesus is saying. And he's talking about abiding in him, okay? But notice when we read these scriptures, Jesus isn't saying, you know, guys, you just got to work and push a lot harder, okay? That's not what Jesus is saying, all right? Instead, he's saying, I want you to abide in me. It's an invitation. It's a gentle approach. It's because he's the gentle shepherd, right? It's a gentle approach saying, you know what? You are weary. You are worn out. You have been struggling. He's saying, I'm here for you, and I want you to come and abide in me, all right? And rest in me, okay? So in a sense, that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But what is he really meaning in these scriptures? And we're going to read these here in a little bit. But he's not meaning necessarily that we have to, for example, spend hours a day reading the Bible or hours a day praying nonstop, which, folks, those are two great things to do, all right? So I'm not saying to stop doing those things. But the point is, the devil can get us in a corner, so to speak, where we feel a pressure that I just got to do more, and I got to do more, and I got to do more. And we become consumed with that thought and that idea. And we're so focused on that, where that can actually become our God and say, you know what, I spent this much time doing all this, and that's what we focus on, but what's the end result? You might be worn out and exhausted, and it just becomes kind of dead to you, and it's like, well, there's really nothing, like, well, there's nothing to it, really. The devil would like for you to get to that place, but the point is, God wants us to get to a place where we connect with Jesus, all right, and we start abiding in Him and resting in Him and receiving our strength and our encouragement and our direction from Him rather than from all of our own struggles, all right, and our own work, okay? So let's go ahead and read these scriptures here in St. John, the 15th chapter. And I want us to understand again, as we're reading this, that Jesus is emphasizing, this is more of, he's wanting a relationship, all right? And that's what he was trying to get across to his disciples here. But folks, it wasn't just for his disciples. This is for all of us, okay? So let's turn and read verses 1, 4, and 5. We're just going to skip a few here. St. John 1, it says, St. John 15 and 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, which means the gardener. And he's talking about the grapevines. That was the vineyards. That was something that was very prevalent back in this day and age. So again, he's saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener. In verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So I want to write the title on the board here this morning. I've written on the board, Abiding in Jesus. So, just to dig in a little deeper about this set of scriptures here, and there's a few chapters here that Jesus is spending, the 14th chapter, the 15th, 16th, so on and so forth. This is right before his crucifixion. And so these are some very important messages and words that he's wanted to share with his closest friends, his disciples. This was a very personal message to them, because he understood that it was soon after this, he was going to be leaving, all right? He's going to be crucified, he's going to be resurrected, and he's going to ascend to heaven, and then ultimately send the Holy Spirit. But Jesus wasn't going to be there in the flesh, so he knew they needed something extra to focus on. And this was one of the things that was of great emphasis. He said, abide in me. And what I love about this, it wasn't a command like, you better abide in me. That wasn't the approach Jesus was taking. It was an invitation. And I can imagine when he's talking with them. You ever watch people's body language? when someone's inviting someone, just like I could imagine Jesus saying, abide in me. Like, his hands are open, his arms are open. It's an invitation, all right? And it wasn't like Jesus saying, abide in me. That wasn't the approach Jesus was taking, all right? He could have, because he was almighty. He was powerful. He could have struck those that were crucifying him. He could have struck them dead just like that. But he chose not to. He kept the invitation open all the way through the cross, okay? But again, to his disciples here, this was something, it was very personal, these words. He was speaking directly to them. But folks, he's also speaking this to us today. Because Jesus was the Word in the flesh. And we still partake of Jesus' Word today. And we apply this to our own lives, an invitation for us as well. But you know, in the Old Testament, Israel was referred to many times as the vine. But the sad result was they didn't produce good fruit. The end result was so many times they failed. They came up short. those in the Old Testament. But what I'm thankful for is Jesus came. He came as a remedy, all right? He came to be the Savior, not just to the Israelites and to the Jews, but to all of us Gentiles as well, to save the whole world. He was not a respecter of persons saying, you know what, I like this person, you know, I can't really stand them, and I don't like their personality, and oh, they don't deserve this. That wasn't the approach. Jesus, it was an invitation for all to come, all right, and to abide in him, okay? And to think of this invitation that Jesus gave to abide in him, he was making a way to help us properly bear fruit and to bear good fruit and an abundance of fruit, okay? And we'll touch on some of that here a little bit later. But thinking of the source, Jesus is saying, abide in me. He's like, I am the true vine, okay? So Jesus was the power source, okay? He was the true vine, just like with the large vine that came out of the ground of the grapevines, that was attached to the ground, that received the food and the nutrients and the moisture from the ground, and then all the little branches connected to that main trunk, they were the branches, right? And that's what he's saying, that you all, the disciples, us, we are the branches. Everything comes through Jesus, okay? So, again, thinking of the branches, that's us, we are totally dependent upon the power and energy source from Jesus being the vine, okay? And then the fruit, that is the results of the connection, abiding in Jesus. When we're connected with Jesus to the vine that has the power source, that has the energy, the nutrients, all of those things, these spiritual things that we need coming from Jesus, we're plugged into him and connected to him. It brings life to us, okay? It produces fruit, all right? So I want to do a little demonstration this morning. And if I could actually have some young gentleman, a young man that could come up here and help me with something, I would appreciate it.
It won't take very long.
All right, Noah, come over on this side, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, right there would be great. So what we're going to do, if you could get that power strip right there and bring it up here and set it, line it right up there. Yeah, just like that. Okay. So I don't have a grapevine up here this morning. Most of us probably don't grow many grapes. I know my grandfather, my grandpa, Brother Vader McMillan, he had a little vineyard he'd started, or just one or two rows anyway, and we got to enjoy some of the fruits of that. But this morning, this is an electronic version of a grapevine. Okay, so what I want you to do, Noah, is I want you to connect this lamp to the power source. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Thank you. Thank you for your help. Okay, so when Jesus came and he said, I am the true vine, okay? You could say that this power strip, because it's connected to the power source, you could say Jesus had direct line or connection to God the Father up in heaven, all right? That's where all the power source came from. Jesus is plugged into that, and he is the power strip. This is the vine, all right? The trunk of the grapevine coming out of the ground. So what he's saying is, I want you to abide in me. Now notice, once Noah plugged this in, I left it there. Okay? But do you realize that we have the ability as humans to disconnect from God at any point? That we can disconnect from Jesus and say, you know what? I'm tired of this, or I'm bored, or yeah, this really, you know, like, whatever. And we can disconnect. So let me ask you the question. In a physical sense, when we talk about a grapevine, what happens when a branch is broken off the vine and falls to the ground? Can anyone answer that question? What happens to that little branch that falls to the ground? It dies. Is it able to produce any fruit? No. It would shrivel up too. Exactly.
Even just the leaves start wilting right away.
Yes. Very quickly. But folks, do you realize that same thing applies to us spiritually? That if we get broken and we allow ourselves to become disconnected from the power source, from Jesus Christ, the vine, that we as a little branch, we shrivel up and we die. What use is it? And so Jesus is inviting here to the disciples. He's like, come abide in me, all right? Come connect with me. And I want to talk about that word abide for a little bit here, okay? So the word abide, in the Greek, it's meno, which means, it's M-E-N-O, which means to stay in a given place or relation, to continue to dwell or to remain connected. That's what we're doing here. It's remaining connected. It's staying there. It's staying put, all right? It's not going back and forth like, oh, back and forth, all right? It's staying connected, abiding, all right? It's connecting with the power source. So I want to point out verse 4. I want to read this one again, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. All right? So, Jesus is not saying that, listen closely here. Jesus was not telling his disciples, and he's not telling us, I want you to impress me. That wasn't what Jesus was saying. All he was saying was, you don't have anything on your own. All right? Come abide and stay with me. In the spirit, okay? You don't have to impress me. And he also wasn't saying, I want you to perform for me. What all can you do? I want to see you do all kinds of this and that and this. Just stretch yourself thin and just see how much you can just really go get it, all right? That wasn't his focus. Of course he wants us to prosper, but we can't prosper on our own, folks. We have to connect and abide in Jesus first. Then we can prosper, okay? But sometimes the devil can trick us when we get it reversed. And we start plugging in. Take, for instance, can you imagine if this lamp said, you know what? I'm just going to plug into myself. It doesn't work, does it? That's when we're left to our own works and our own ideas. It's like, hello? There's nothing. But folks, when we plug in and we connect to Jesus, that changes everything, all right? If we abide in him, we stay connected to him. So here's another one. Jesus also wasn't telling his disciples, you can earn some high status from me. That wasn't what Jesus was saying. In fact, he scolded them when they started comparing themselves that who was going to be the greatest. Jesus is saying, stop that. That shouldn't be your focus. Don't be focusing on each other. You need to focus on me, Jesus is saying. Focus on the vine. Focus on connecting with Jesus. All right? So, now, I want to demonstrate something else. This one is rather easy. And this is one that we all are familiar with as well. So, I have in my hand a cell phone charger, okay? I think a lot of us are familiar with those. So, let me ask a question. And you don't have to give an exact answer, but because everybody's phone is different and everybody's usage is different, but how long can you go without charging your phone at all? You know, some folks can go just a few hours. Some folks can go maybe a couple of days because they don't use it that much. But and whatever they're using, it doesn't use as much power. But the bottom line is, at some point, we have to connect to the power source. All right. Well, I didn't have my ring. Anyway, I don't have the tone on, but the green bars are showing up, all right? So the point is, if we don't plug in, and if we don't connect, and if we don't learn to abide in Jesus, just like this phone, as soon as I unplug this, do you realize it starts draining the battery immediately? It may show the same percentage, but internally it starts draining the battery. And if I go several hours without being connected to a power source, eventually, and this is one of my pet peeves, I do not like running out of battery on my phone. So guess what? I plug in several times a day. And fortunately, I mean, I have a little bit of advantage. I have an office job, so I'm able to, right there next to my laptop, I have my power cord right there, and I can just set my phone and plug it in and don't have to worry about it. And maybe those that have a traveling job, they have a phone charger, they stay plugged in and charged all the time as well. But the point is, when it's plugged in, it has power, right? So I'm going to plug in here, get some more power. And thinking of, as soon as it's disconnected, when we disconnect from the power source, what happens? Spiritually speaking, if we disconnect from Jesus, all right? And if I disconnect, okay? What happens is our spiritual battery starts draining, okay? And when our spiritual battery starts draining, what happens? We become weak spiritually. We lose inspiration. We can become fearful, overly fearful. We can become overly anxious because we're trying to plug into our, so to speak, you know, but when we're plugged into Jesus, there's something about it to where we start leaning upon his power, okay? Away from us and away from ours, and we start leaning upon his power source, which is unlimited, by the way, all right? And then another point, you know, the devil sometimes, he likes to trick us into thinking, well, you don't need to plug in that often. Or he can just say, you know what, maybe just a few times a year. But what about our cell phones? What if we just plugged in a few times a year? What use would it be? All right? So the point is, God wants us to plug in and to connect with Jesus and to abide in Jesus. That means, abide means to stay, all right? To remain connected. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. Come abide in me. And it's not just a few times a year or maybe once or twice a week, but it's daily. Just like we plug our phones in daily, he wants us to connect with him, to cultivate that relationship with him, all right? That way we start receiving strength from heaven. Thank the Lord. Again, which never runs out, all right? So, I want to notice verse 5 here. It says, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. In other words, you know, that sounds kind of harsh, but you know it's true. Jesus is saying, by yourself, on your own, not being connected and abiding in me, we don't work. We don't function properly, all right? That's this light, this is designed, this is a vessel, so to speak. You know, the scripture talks about we are to be the light of the world. How can we be the light of the world plugged into ourselves? It doesn't work. Plugging into the world, anything else the devil brings or what? It doesn't work. But if we plug into Jesus, was truly the light of the world himself, and we plug into that, therefore, we can also be a light, a reflection of Jesus in our personal lives, because we've been abiding in him. We've been connected. We've been cultivating that relationship. And guess what? The more you're around someone, the more you communicate with them and you have these conversations and you spend time together, you begin to know each other very well. And sometimes you start acting like them and you start thinking like them. For example, well, Sheila and I have been married almost 30 years. You realize that sometimes we can finish each other's sentences or we'll say the same thing. And we're thinking, it's like, but folks, that's the same thing. When we start spending more time with Jesus, he starts rubbing off on us, so to speak. And that's the purpose. He's saying, come abide in me, all right? And you'll bear much fruit. But if you don't, he's like, you can't do anything. How true that is. So, to think of abiding and connecting to this power source, we're feeding on Jesus's thoughts. You know, what did the prophet say? I think it was Jeremiah. He said, the thoughts that I think towards you are not of evil, but to give you an expected end. Okay? So, Jesus is thinking these good, wholesome thoughts for us, that we would have fruit and we would abound and we would be alive and we could shine our light and we'd have victory in our souls, all right? So that's what he's communicating to us. That's his desires for us, okay? And so those thoughts and that power and his grace and his spirit, we can't receive it if we've disconnected, if we've turned our back and say, you know what? Nah, that's not for me. Let me just say something here. You know, sometimes in life, I've been tempted sometimes this way. But you know, there's sometimes in life, there's people that live to be a hypocrite. And it puts a tarnish upon God's word, so to speak. It doesn't change God's word, okay? But it puts a bad taste sometimes in other people's lives that they're like, well, they profess and they say they're this, but you know what they are doing behind closed doors, so to speak? You know what they're doing behind people's back? And they've been doing this for years, and yet they're professing and claiming one thing, and they're living and doing another thing. And they're like, well, then what's the use? That's what some people will say. The unbelievers are like, well, what's the use? They say, and they're like, but there's nothing to it. Folks, the fact of the matter is, they died a long time ago, spiritually speaking. They were disconnected, all right, from the true power source. And that little branch, that little vine, grapevine, fell off, and it died along. And yet, they may fool some people for a while, but God knows the heart, folks. We as humans, we can be deceived, and we can be tricked. But over time, it will be made known that eventually that branch will dry up and there's no fruit left. That's a challenge. Lord, help us that we not be of that number. Lord, help us to choose to daily abide and stay connected with Jesus. Okay? So, what is this fruit he was talking about? He said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. All right, let's talk about the fruit just for a little bit. I want to turn and read just a couple of scriptures. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, you all know what this is. It's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm not going to focus on these. This is just something that we could take home and chew on, all right, for us individually and personally. Saying, Lord, I want to bear some more fruit. Well, here's an example here. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, these are some fruits that we can bear, all right? And it's only when we're connected and abiding in Jesus that these things start becoming obvious and visible, as in others can take notice, like, wow, let's read this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's a lot of fruit. But do you realize we can start bearing some of that fruit too? And it's one of those things that the longer we serve Him, the longer we stay connected with Him, you realize that that vine starts bearing more fruit, that tree starts bearing more apples and oranges, the longer it stays healthy and connected to its power source. Folks, the same thing can be said of us, that we can bear much fruit as well, as Jesus was saying, okay? Now, I want to think upon this just for a moment. So a couple weeks ago, I spoke about the church that Jesus built. What I want us to understand here this morning is this isn't my church. It's not your church. It's not someone else's church. It's the church that Jesus built. This was an invitation from the chief cornerstone of the church. Jesus himself says, I am the vine. And it was true. No one could change that fact. And it's an invitation. Come abide in me, okay? So basically what this church that Jesus built, his plan was that we all be filled with his spirit and have a personal, individual relationship with him. Because no longer do we have to go through a high priest. The veil was rent when he was crucified from top to bottom, that we could enter into the holiest of holies where God's presence was. And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, that we can receive his Holy Spirit for each of us individually. And answer that invitation from Jesus said, come and abide in me, is what he's saying, all right? That we can connect through the Spirit to him. Thank the Lord. So I want us to think of it this way. That Jesus being the vine, the true power source here, you could say again, he's this little power strip. But let's think of it this way. That Jesus, he's so big and powerful, and his church is without number. We can't number it, but you can just imagine a power strip that's thousands of miles long. And there can be millions, okay, and maybe billions if we want, of folks that we can personally be plugged in and connected to him all at the same time. Because what happens if four or five appliances or something that pulls a lot of amperage is plugged into this, what's going to happen? The breaker trips, right? There's no more juice. It can't handle it. Oh, but thank the Lord. Jesus said, whosoever will. We all are invited that we can come and plug into this power strip that's thousands of miles long, and there's room for everyone to come and plug in and connect and stay connected, abiding in Jesus. And the power source, the eternal power source from heaven, will never trip a breaker, folks. Thank the Lord. It can handle it all. He's saying, come all, come abide in me. Thank the Lord for this open invitation. So now let's just turn and wrap this up here a little bit. How do we abide in Jesus? How do we actually do this? I pointed out a few things last Sunday. We talked about finding healing in his wings and touching the hem of his garment. At the woman with the issue of blood, she reached out, touched the hem of his garment. But one of the points I was bringing out in that thought was that she put herself in close proximity of Jesus. But here's the key. She had to put forth the effort. Even though she was weak, Jesus knew her heart's desire. And she was reaching out in faith just to touch the hem of his garment. That's all she could do. And again, I envision this. I shared this last Sunday. I feel impressed to share it again. I could envision in the crowd that was pressing Jesus, she didn't have much strength, no doubt, physically. And she had spent it all, she said, on all the doctors and everything. And she tried to get better, but she was only getting worse. But I could just imagine she was doing everything she could, all right? She was limited, but she reached out in faith to touch the hem of his garment. And I can envision Jesus in the crowd sensing and knowing she's back there and had a need. She was desperate. And within her heart, she was reaching out to Jesus. She wanted to connect with him. She didn't know how else to, but to touch the hem of his garment. And I can envision Jesus just kind of stopping and slowing up in the crowd and saying, wait. And he held up just a little bit to where she could reach out and touch the hem of his. I'm just envisioning that myself. It didn't say that in the scriptures that he stood still a little bit to allow, But I can envision that's what Jesus does for us. Because he knows sometimes we are limited. And we've spent all of our strength and all of our life doing something. And we feel like we're coming up short, but yet we're reaching out in faith. Man, we can't quite touch, and Jesus makes up the difference. And he meets us in the middle, so to speak. And we touch the hem of his garment. And what happened to the woman? She was made whole. She wasn't just partially healed. And it wasn't just the physical healing she received. It was a spiritual healing she received as well. She walked away whole, complete. And that's what Jesus wants to do with us. He makes us complete in every facet of our lives, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. But it's only when we connect with him and stay connected with him. That's what keeps us whole, because that power source, it surges through us every day as we continue to abide in him and stay connected in him. All right? So let's talk about what are some practical things. I just want to touch on a few things this morning of how we can abide in Jesus. All right? And again, folks, this is not something, we're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to earn this. It was just an open invitation. Jesus is saying, come abide in me. All right? So these are some things we can do to get us in closer proximity of Jesus in the Spirit. All right? One of them is, this is the root of it, but it's our faith, okay? The scripture says without faith, you can't please him, all right? So we have to have, but sometimes we feel like our faith is tiny, and it may seem insignificant, just like a grain of mustard seed, but he's saying, that's enough. Just start with that. So folks, we can start exercising our faith, and even the little things, just praying about things, maybe on the job or around the house, or something very personal no one knows about, but you're praying to the Lord and you're seeking him, saying, Lord, can you show me a little sign? Can you answer this little prayer? Whatever it is. And God does that in his own time. And that encourages us. And that helps our faith to increase. And then he's saying, come abide in me. I want you to test the power source again. Is there something else you want to bring to me? The Lord is saying, bring that. Lay it at the cross. Lay it at my feet. Cast those burdens here. I want to help you with those too, Jesus is saying. Come abide. Just stay and abide and hang around me for a while as long as you can, because this invitation is for everyone and for all of us forever. Thank the Lord. So that's one thing, exercising our faith daily, even if it's in little things. And here's another one. Again, I've touched on some of these last Sunday, so bear with me. But I feel impressed to share some of these again this morning. The scripture says, pray without ceasing. And folks, that's not meaning that we're praying 24 hours a day on our knees and that's all we do. We can't live life that way. We weren't physically made to be able to do that. But we can have a prayer in our heart at all times. Even when we're going to sleep, when we're waking up in the morning, those are wonderful times to slow down our mind and think about the Lord, think about his goodness. And pray to him, say, Lord, you see, things really didn't go the way I'd hoped to today. But Lord, I commit it into your hands. And I know you're an all-seeing God. You're an all-powerful God. And you promise you work all things together for my good. If I'm connected and abiding in you, okay? And I commit that to you. That's just, again, that's exercising our faith. But it's praying and communicating with God. But you know, the other side of that is also learning to be quiet and to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. And we can do that by meditating, okay? Thinking about things that God has done for us, the answered prayers, looking at his beautiful and wonderful creation that he created for us to enjoy, and magnifying him, thinking about that. And then that can lead us into a form of worship to God. When we're praising him and thanking him for all the things he's done. Folks, that's abiding in Jesus. We're getting as close to him as we can to be able to connect with him. And we want to stay there, right? Because we want our lights to shine. Because we want life within us. Because we want fruit, right? So those are just a few things. There's more, but that's enough for now. But thinking of getting in close proximity and connection and contact with the vine. Again, folks, this is individual, and it has to be intentional. We don't just wake up in the morning and wish, like, man, I wish I could be closer to God. And we just kind of sit there and twiddle our thumbs like, well, I had a thought. It's a desire. It's a wish. But if we don't do anything about it, we can get up and we can put our faith into action. I believe something, therefore, I'm going to come to God. And just like the woman with the issue of blood, she put her faith into action and she reached out. And Jesus met her in the middle and gave her that healing that she so desperately needed. So, I want to think about it this way as we wrap this up. There's a song that says, it's an old hymn, learning to lean on Jesus. And part of that words of the song says, I'm learning to lean. I'm finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. So I want us to think about that just a little bit. If we're leaning on something or into something, that means we're becoming dependent upon that, all right? That we are have some confidence in it. Just like if I lean against this wall, all right, I have the faith and confidence that it's not going to fall over, all right? I'm leaning on it. But I'm intentional, and I'm taking action, all right? I'm leaning on it. And my faith and confidence is it's going to hold me up. And I'm in close. You can't lean on something unless you're in close proximity to it. You know, I can't lean on that wall from here. But oh, thank the Lord, we can be like the woman with the issue of blood. We can get as close as we can, and we can kind of even fall into it. All right? We lean upon Jesus, all right? We lean into Him. We're expecting something from Him, and we know that He can support us, and He can handle us, all right? So, there's a scripture in Matthew 11. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We realize that Jesus isn't saying, you know, just come over here for a little bit. Come check it out and you can leave if you want to. But no, this was an invitation. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. If we've tried plugging into ourselves or something else and try to connect with all these other things that left us disappointed and powerless and discontented and all these things, he's saying, come and try me. And not just a little, yeah, we can get a little taste of it. He's like, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and stay a while. Abide in me. Connect. I want to cultivate this relationship with you, Jesus is saying. And then think about it this way, too. You know, a child that is restless and fearful and fill in the blank, scared, isn't it amazing how a parent can pick that child up and just embrace them and hold them. And after a while, they can calm down and be at rest. And that's what I was envisioning Jesus with his disciples. He knew there were some things they were concerned about. And if not then, they were later for sure. And they're fearful about uncertainties, all these things, anxious about things. And he's saying, just come abide in me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the kind of rest Jesus wants to give. We're nestled in his arms. We're leaning on him. Our expectation is from him, the power source from heaven, and realize it's going to be okay in his arms. We're leaning on his breast. We're leaning on his arms, as scriptures talk about. And to think of it this way, you want more rest and peace? Abide in Jesus. You seek more power in your life? Abide in Jesus. You want more growth? Just like the branch, it has to stay connected to the vine. We have to be connected to the power source, folks, spiritually speaking, for us to grow and to produce fruit. You want to produce more fruit, good fruit? We have to abide in Jesus. You want to be a good example to those around us? We have to be connected to the power source and abide in Jesus. Do we want to live and not die? Of course we want to live. We have to be abiding in Jesus, all right? It's a daily decision. to get as close to Him as we can, not struggling and striving and forcing things to happen, but saying, "Lord, I want to lean upon You. I want to seek You. I want to lean on this and realize that there's nothing else out there. I've tried everything else, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She tried everything else and grew only worse." And we can come running to Jesus with His open arms and He's saying, "Come, abide in Me. Come into Me." And folks, even if we've been serving the Lord for several years, this is still a daily invitation we can take up, and we can continue abiding in Him, that we have in the end, we can start producing not just a little bit of fruit, but an abundance of fruit and good fruit. And we can be a light unto the world because we're connected and we're abiding in Jesus. And therefore, we are fulfilling the promises that God gave us. We are fulfilling the desires that Jesus had for His disciples. Because what happened after that? They were part of the early church. And folks, we can still be a part of this same church that Jesus built. This power strip that's thousands of miles long, spiritually speaking. And we can all be plugged in. We can all be connected and abiding in Jesus. And all receiving the same Spirit, the same power, thank the Lord, is available to all of us. Thank the Lord for that. You pray for me. I'll be faithful to Him. Amen.